Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
7:23, hundreds arrested across the U.S. campuses as police clamp down on anti-Israel protests. Have become completely absurd, in my view, many of them not even knowing what it is that they are protesting about. Well, Jeff Kay is the VP for Public Affairs and Development at Ben Gurion University. He joins us this morning. Jeff, a very good morning. Thanks for doing so. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Booker. So to you, Howard.
So you must be watching this with complete disdain, that how we've reached a situation at campuses across the United States where students are effectively protesting. I'm not even sure what they're protesting. I'm not even sure they're sure what they're protesting. How do you view this?
Okay, so thanks for the question. First of all, I think you'll agree, Howard, that student protest in itself is not a bad thing. In fact,
we
look at history, all the way back to 1942 and the White Rose movement of students from Munich University against the Nazi regime, and then the protests in the United States in the 60s. And even South Africa in 1985.
Well, I was very involved. I was involved with the anti-apartheid protests. But I can tell you that we never called for the death of any group. We wanted equality for all students. That's what we called for.
So I think that the first thing is, yes, it's important that students protest. I think you're correct. I think that the vast majority of the students identify themselves with what they see as the underdog. They don't really understand the issues. They're out there protesting because they think this is where their values lie. This is, if you like, the connection. I saw in the University of Southern California a student wearing a T-shirt that says Blacks and Latinos should unite for the developing world, one developing world, or something like that. The students are out there and they're protesting, and I think there's two things that we have to be concerned about. Number one is who's funding these protests? Is this students picking up from TikTok or from their other media, social media, and saying we have to get out in the street? Or is there an influence of foreign power, Qatari or other finances that are funding this? That's something that universities in the United States should be very, very concerned about, because then not only is it not speak to the values of freedom of speech and freedom of values in universities, is actually the other way around. And there's an influence which is a foreign influence. So are these student sales being funded by somebody, and are the universities themselves having their hands held because they have hands tied, because they have funding that comes from elsewhere? That's the first thing we should be concerned about. The second thing is, where does this connect to the increased anti-Semitism? Because protesting against Israel, protesting against what they believe is injustice, the Palestinian cause, although they've very, very quickly forgotten everything that happened on October 7 and the hostages and the rapes and the killing of children. But putting that aside, the question is, what is the connection between that and the Jewish community? Where does the anti-Semitism movement feed into that? And that's, it for me, the most concerning thing. So as long as it's student protests who, from an ignorant position or from a position of knowledge or protesting, that's one thing. Second, but mostly, what is the connection to anti-Semitism, and how is that leading to a rise in anti-Semitism, which, frankly, Howard, we're seeing elsewhere, not just in the university campuses. I was going to say is that we know this from all over. How you deal with protest is going to have an impact on what happens tomorrow morning. And from what I've seen, I may be wrong, because I'm sitting in Israel watching this. From what I've seen, we're talking about encampments. We're talking about students sitting down protesting, albeit with horrific slogans and lies and banners and things like that, but sitting down and refusing to leave. And so the real act against, or the real action again, is because of trespassing. So I think that you have to be very smart in terms of when you use the police, how you use the police, because all it needs is one person or two people or five people to get hurt and then arrested, and then you've got this ripple effect. So how it's handled is really important. And it looked to me as if, at least from what I saw in Georgia and the Emory University, it was not handled well.
So what would you do if this was happening on a campus that you were involved with? What would you suggest?
Well, isn't it amazing that here we are, Ben Gurion University, albeit this week we're off for Pesach, for Passover, but our studies continue as normal with our mix of Jewish and Muslim and Arab Bedouin students, and everybody's going about their classes and exams without any problems. So how amazing is that? The place where you would most expect there to be problems, there are none. I think that we have handled the protests in the past, and you have to be smart about it. You have to have conversations with the students or the student bodies or the people who are organizing. I think you have to be very clear what your red lines are, and I think you have to say we're going to protect your right for freedom of speech, even though some of the things you may be writing or saying are defamatory or naive at the best. But we're going to make sure that you protest and then you go home. I think one of the universities last night or yesterday said, you know, we're absolutely fine for you to protest all day long on the quad of the university, but when it comes to night down, you have to leave, and they left. So it's about being smart, and that's hopefully what Ben Gurion University would be doing.
So what does it mean now in terms of? You know, the amount of it, unfortunately, what happens, as you well know, is it kind of takes on a life of its own, because it becomes less about the real issues. You know, it's easy to chant anything that you want to chant, and that's cool. But it actually, in some ways, strengthens these protests by pushing back. I don't think there's an option, because you can't allow the intimidation of Jewish students, and you can't allow an occupation of the university like the universities like this. But it really is a very, very difficult one to walk back, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think that's. I think that what happens in a protest movement is, if unless there's real energy behind them, and I don't know, you know, what I've seen, 100, 150, 200, 250 students at universities that have tens of thousands. So I think you let them protest. Obviously, if violence starts or intimidation of Jewish or any other students, then you take action. But as long as they're sitting there and they're sitting in a camp, and I would just let it die out until the rain starts and they'll leave. And I don't believe that there's anything there that is existential for the people protesting. I think that's what students do, and that's what I said before. You become about it. There's no doubt that even in the 60s in the United States, the student protest started off with equal rights and freedom of speech, and then very quickly it became into the anti-Vietnam and then anti-Cambodia. Students will look for reasons, and that's fine. And by the way, only a few years ago, when there were demonstrations against the destruction of our planet, I was in favor of that, as you probably were as well, Howard. So I think absolutely. I think you let it down. You think you protect your Jewish students. If you obviously with social media, it's a lot more difficult to contain now than it was 40, 50 years ago. But you just let it live its course, and as I said, exams will come, and the rain will come, or whatever will happen.
To quote just a classic, Jeff Kay, thank you for that conversation.